Chapter 131, The Wilting Thistle. Okay, so in the previous chapter, I get carried away with a typewriter-triggered epiphany. You know how easy it can be for that to happen. Typewriters always take me back to when my fingers were tiny, tender and untried, like the delicate fingers of an anemone, waving in a tantalizing and newly discovered sea. I sat with my legs dangling in the private library that my aunts ran, upstairs in the arcade, tapping keys just to hear the sound it made, and pushing with all my might until the letter hit the page. A gentle gunshot, never to be erased. And then the magic of seeing the secretary typing away, smooth and fast, in a summer frock with her pale biceps jiggling, her fingers dancing across the keys and the text miraculously appearing. Typewriters take me back, they always do, to unself-conscious and utterly artless band fanzines, like the one Ned sold there at the door of the Slivery Moon back in Chapter 101. Replete with personality, every single edition, and there must have been a few, all with short-lived and forgettable names, Dirty Rag, The Reason Why, Handbook for Intolerance, The Yielding Wonder, Vagabond Lies, Oozing Leaks, The Nearing Yonder, Limp Tales, just to mention a few. Meanwhile, back in this chapter, we have completed our inspection of the house and decided that it is the house for us, that at some time in the future, it could be livable, that is, squattable. Thumbs up, says my colleague, whose name is Pedro, and who, in a much lower voice, laced with solemnity, informs me that he is from Chile, forced to leave his land and family and friends because of the current dictator. He says nothing more about it, but is looking down at the floor, or through the floor into dark places gouged out of the ground. He turns and climbs the stairs, dirt sieving out from under each tread he takes. The house lists a little more as we reach the hallway and out the front door we go. Pedro has already installed a new lock on the front door, one for which he has the key. A key held up in front of me, bringing on a wave of glee, as if the sails inside me were suddenly filled with a most agreeable breeze. To celebrate the turn that events can take, we cross the road to the conveniently located local public house, the Wilting Thistle, parting the heavy black curtains to gain entry and walking right in like two travellers seeking a rest from the road and well-earned refreshment. The locals eye us up and down with suspicion they cannot hide, or is it simply surprise? I am yet to even partially understand the flora, fauna, and folk of this land. The interior of the Wilting Thistle has a worn and almost grubby sheen to it, more musty than plush. Propping up the bar, a young lad, or possibly a lass, with a shock of thick red hair, elbow on bar and legs cockily crossed like she owns the place. She has a red kerchief knotted at her neck and twisted round as if she has recently robbed a bank and is now drinking something of the proceeds. She looks up but pays us no further notice, Glasses are hung upside down above the bar, so the barman, behind it, has to stoop a little to get a look at us, dodging from side to side as if he were a boxer in a ring. And maybe he is, as his nose is somewhat flattened and his small ears thick as doorknobs. Behind him, a woman stands with her arms folded and a weary or wry look in her eye. "What'll it be, then?" the barman says, enigmatically, to which we correctly surmise the answer to be 2 pints of ale. As he works the hand-pull ale pump, we have another look around. At a table in the corner sits an elderly man, colour of ash, and wrapped up in an overcoat, scarf and cap, with a hardly sipped flat pint of ale on the table in front of him. "Hasn't got much time to live," says the woman, nodding in his direction, but with her eyes on us. "Cancer," she says, taking something of that wind from the sails inside me. Pedro and I strive to project understanding and empathy without actually moving in any way. There are things in life that happen. What more can you do or say?